They say life in 40 age is just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other and,
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
So how are you doing this week? That's such a generic question to ask.
I'm doing better. I've calmed down from my traffic.
You did not have an easy trip over here today.
Yeah, I just don't, because I'm kind of a control freak. I like to control everything in my life. And I can't control traffic, and it annoys me. I know I should just sit there and listen to the music.
Haven't I dropped on several occasions? Pardon me. You can't control what happens to you.
I know.
You can only control how you react.
Yeah.
You're not learning anything.
I know. I should have. But I was like, okay, let me listen to the music. Fine. I'm just going to sit here in this ridiculous, crazy traffic.
Okay. What music were you listening to?
I was trying to listen to just like happy pop music.
Okay.
I know you don't like that.
No, you can go classical. That'll probably...
Yeah, a little more zen.
Yeah.
I might fall asleep, though, at the wheel. I was trying to be peppy. It's, you know, I'm just... I don't know. I was trying to clear my mood, and it wasn't working because it was... As time builds, I just get more stressful. But that is really...
So what are you going to do to...
I'm retail therapy after we're done with this.
Oh, that's healthy. Well, I had said this morning I bought the girls donuts on the way to school because
you wanted a donut.
No, I didn't have a donut. I don't.
You didn't?
No, that's
great. Mm-hmm.
But I did. I was like, man, this has been the longest week of a, you know, it's a four-day week.
You get all weird. It's weird.
It is. I was just like, man, it's Friday and I didn't even work on Monday. But Monday was a long day because I was doing other stuff. Anyhow, I'm feeling the stress this week. I can even feel it in my left shoulder. Why does my arm feel numb all of a sudden? I'm just kidding. But I carry
like
tension in the back of my neck and in my shoulder.
Okay, gotcha.
Sometimes I'll sit like this, kind of after
you're all tight.
So we can. I think you and I can agree. We're a little stressed out.
Well, yeah.
Today, at least, right?
Yeah, there's stressors on and off pretty much all the time.
Well, for those
at our stage in life.
Yes, for those of us that are dealing with that sort of thing, we have just the guest today to help us deal with these things.
Yeah, Megan is someone I met in a women's networking group, and she is a therapist. She helps married couples, children, families work through whatever their struggles may be. But her idea is that she wants to promote people being mindful. Mm-hmm. So aware of things like these stresses. And like you just said, choose to say, whatever, I'm going to deal with this in this better, positive way. It gives people kind of those coping mechanisms to go out on their own and be functional, happy people on their own.
If something is going to happen to you, and things will happen to you, being aware of what's going on, when it's going on, and knowing what your reaction can be, and being mindful, of course, I guess maybe that's the word of the day.
Yes.
Will help you deal with it right then and there better.
And even if you think back to the podcast with Michelle, in terms of physical fitness, hers was all about being intentional and mindful as well.
Yeah.
And so this is a trend. This is apparently a trend, just self-awareness.
I hope that it's not a trend. I hope that it is a time-honored classic.
Something
that, you know, I don't
stands
like trendy.
The test of time.
Yes, this is something that's been around for a long time.
Life-changing.
That people are now starting to tune into.
Maybe, yeah, I think that's more of what we're looking for. So we've had these guests on just to, and it kind of goes with the words of wisdom that we'll have at the end, that it's just a self-awareness. And so that's what we're going to glean from her today, I hope.
I didn't get any feedback on my Wooderson words of wisdom last week.
No.
LIVIN, but I did find that t-shirt online. I'll tell
you did? That,
yeah.
Oh, no.
I bought a sweet new pair of rock and roll boots for the gig, and I'm going to get that Wooderson shirt. Gerstle, September 23rd, everybody.
You keep plugging that.
I'm the one with the loud guitar. Well, we'll come back with some words of wisdom, but right now let's talk to Megan Bales Bartley.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
We have a special guest here today.
A cup of coffee with.
A cup of coffee with Megan Bartley. She is, and we're going to mess this up because it's one of those kind of titles or it's long for me.
Not going to mess me up. Licensed marriage and family therapist.
I think it's because I called you something different and then it's me trying so hard to get that out of my brain. But licensed marriage and family therapist.
Yes.
And so we're all going to get some therapy.
We're going to try. This is not therapy. It might be therapeutic.
Yeah. Well, whereas maybe a lot of men sometimes are.
It's fine.
Oh, it's fine. Okay. I'm looking at the screen and I don't usually see the screen.
You're just going to have to trust the butcher on this one.
I should. Okay. Dan was exceptionally excited about talking to a therapist today. Dan is really into the therapy.
Well, when I turned 40, my dad died. Mm-hmm. I turned 40 and had job issues all within like a 3 to 4 month period. Mm-hmm. So I had a little bit of stress going on.
A little bit of stress.
Yeah. Right. So I went to see a psychologist and it was fantastic.
Great.
It was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. Every week I couldn't wait to go talk to the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I quit, but
you started feeling better. People usually come because they're not feeling great.
Yeah.
They just want to feel better.
So I see great value in what you do.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that most, if not all of the people that do come see you think, oh man, that is so great.
Yeah.
It just instantly makes you feel better.
Yes.
And yeah.
So tell us just a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you do.
Sure.
Before we start nailing you with the therapy questions.
Yeah. So I'm originally from California, but I grew up in Seattle, and I've lived all over and recently moved here from Austin, Texas. Went to the Presbyterian Seminary 15-ish years ago for my master's to become a marriage and family therapist. And now I'm in a private practice by myself right now, and seeing people with relationship issues, mostly men who have some...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you see healthy relationations to...
Yeah, I mean, I see a gamut. I work with people who are... I'm distracted by Stephanie taking a picture. That's okay. I need pictures. Yes, please send that to me. I work with, couples who want to enhance their relationship, but usually if it's working, they're not going to be coming to therapy and paying you for it, right? I mean...
I know people that go, it's like proactively going
Like a checkup.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have the people who haven't gotten married yet who are panicking because something's come up and they're like, oh gosh, can I marry this person?
Okay.
There's the people who are pretty sure they're headed for divorce and they want to know how to do that well and how to best co-parent together. And then there's the people who are really stuck in some sort of pattern that they've been stuck in probably for a while, because in marriages there's solvable problems and there's non-solvable problems. And
give me an example of a non-solvable problem.
A non-solvable problem.
Doesn't have anything to do with the toilet seat, does it?
Not usually.
little deeper
or the
than
way
that.
The dishwasher is loaded.
No.
It's
kind of, yeah. It's usually like in-laws.
Okay.
Like you can't get rid of in-laws, right?
Right.
But if they're really just, having trouble or non-solvable problem, kids. Usually we're not giving away our kids, right? But figuring out a way to co-parent together can be a tricky thing too. Marriage satisfaction is usually ranked the least right after your first child is born and doesn't usually come back up until they leave for college.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, that's depressing.
Children,
we're right smack in the middle of it, Dan. Oh my gosh.
Children don't usually improve the marriage. So it's just it adds a lot of stress. Hmm. So you just have to figure out a way to deal with that together.
There are a lot of couples out there that need to hear that's
normal.
If we just had a baby together, wouldn't things be...
No.
How often do you see that?
It doesn't solve the problem.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. No. Mm-hmm.
It's really stressful,
Right.
But it's awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome, yeah. People do it. We do it. There's great things about it, and there's tough things about it, just like life, right? So.
One of my questions coming in here was, we talk about people living in middle age, between, a certain age and, say, 45-ish. We call it 40-ish. Anyhow, what are the most common issues that might creep up for somebody? I guess you're going to run this through the filter of marriage and family. Well, I suppose.
But. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the lifespan development, and in your 20s, you're kind of finishing school, you're establishing a career, you're maybe meeting your lifetime mate or your mate for, you know, a long period of time.
Your brain is not quite fully developed.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Until about 25, maybe, yeah. Okay. 30s are usually, you know, you're settling down, you're getting married if you haven't already, you're having kids, establishing a family, figuring out where you're going to live. And then as you start to creep up on 40, things start to shift there, where 40 is more about, you know, reassessing, like, is this all going okay? Is it going well? Is it what I maybe expected it was going to be? Is it, even if it isn't, is it okay that it's different? You know, oftentimes women who are approaching 40 and they have kids who are in school full time off to kindergarten, it's sort of like this, they haven't been working, you know, that's sort of this little bit of a crisis
identity.
Around about who am I, what am I doing
been
right
there,
now
done that.
So but I see that in men and women where 40s is really sort of that, okay, like, and you have parents who are getting older and who are retiring, and you're starting to think about things like retirement and what am I going to do in retirement and do I have enough money for retirement, all the things, you know, that you weren't really worried about in your 20s early 30s, you know.
We've covered that topic.
Yeah.
I wish I were worried about it in my 20s.
Right.
I would have been in a little bit of better shape.
Right. So there's, you know, you are hitting that mid-age where you're like, okay, I've lived half of my life, and now do I want to keep living it this way with this job, with this partner, in this town? You know, I mean, there's a lot of...
With this beer gut. Most of us say no, we don't want the beer gun.
We don't.
But we're not willing to do anything about it.
No. Well, we've talked about that too, that there are physical and medical things that change too that get
absolutely.
You all, there's the stressors change.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, there is, it's 40s is different.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And it can creep up. I love that this is 40-ish because it can creep up in the late 30s, right? Where you're starting to think about turning 40. And, you know, some people are like, cool, 40, you know, 40 is a new 30, not a big deal. And some people are like, oh, shoot. I caught myself.
That's good.
Woohoo.
Good, because I didn't have my finger on the bleep button.
Yes, good. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
That's cracking me up.
It's okay. She probably does hear a lot of four-letter words in therapy.
And I use a lot of four-letter words, unfortunately. But, you know, it's just, we're pretty casual in our therapy sessions.
I think we were talking before we cracked the mic that you see a lot of anger issue stuff. Like,
yes.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a product of age, or is it a product of youth not losing some sort of experience or that's hanging around?
Well, I mean, mostly when I work with anger, what I see it through the lens of is misplaced emotions. So if you're in your 40s and you're feeling stressed or disappointed or, you know, anxious and then kind of tank into depression or whatever, there's sort of all these emotions that are happening, and oftentimes feeling hurt and sad and lonely and scared are a little bit more vulnerable emotions, and people don't want to show vulnerability.
Right. Okay.
So they, you know, show frustration and irritability and getting mad and anger, and, you know, it's kind of like on this continuum where one is this rage and anger and mad irritability all the way down to sad, hurt, and lonely.
How do you discern what's going on there as a non-licensed marriage and family therapist? Let's say you have somebody in your life that's dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you defuse that bomb?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard because you really can't control the other person, right?
Yes, you can.
I control everything.
We talk a lot about that, you know, like where you're going to put your energy, because a lot of people are spinning their wheels, wasting energy trying to control someone else.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what I usually talk about, what we talk about is, you know, you only have control over you. You have control over your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors. And so if you're constantly pointing the finger outside of yourself and saying, you just need to do this differently, right? There's no real, I'm taking responsibility for how I might be playing into this as well. So I really work with, if it's an individual who's coming in, and they're complaining about someone else who's angry, how you can accept that control for yourself and to figure out a way to, you know, take responsibility of how you're creating that situation. So how you can be...
You're blaming the victim. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, okay, so...
She's
the victim language. Okay, yeah. That's a whole nother... But...
yeah, you're going to have a podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to get you started.
Let's talk about your narrative. No, yeah, because if you have the narrative of being a victim, you know, you're in this story.
Right.
You know, your life is sort of the story that's unfolding, and it's your narrative, and if I'm the victim, I mean, that's a whole... That'll be another show.
Yes, I think so. It could. I mean, she. We've got a lot of topics.
Yeah. We talked.
Yeah. We know that it's going to be. Uh-huh. There's deep.
A monthly.
Yeah.
We'll do a monthly check-in with the therapist.
That'd be great. Like,
going back to the anger, when I was a teacher, I used to, being somebody who's not a therapist, I was a teacher, I used to try to, and one of the reasons I taught a lot of at-risk kids is because I was able to look at those angriest kids with compassion and say, they're like, you are not 16 and this really, really angry without some reason. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you said, it's not really anger.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's just they're 16 and they're a tough guy and they can't be emotional.
I always just say their dad doesn't hug him enough.
Yeah. Well, that's
she's nodding because that's the reason behind that,
you know? And so I used to dive a little deeper into that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to ask a kid, you don't know what it is. What is it? Are you hungry? Do you have a place to sleep at night? Do you, you know, so there's all these things. I was in a big city in Dallas. So there are some basic needs things, but somebody that's in that dire situation, there's emotional things
absolutely
there as well. And so I used to try to have compassion rather than tag absolutely that kid as, this is a problem, angry kid we're not going to get anywhere with.
Yes.
As, why don't we just listen to them?
Right.
And see what they have to say.
Absolutely. And compassion in and of itself could be a whole other show too. And self-compassion. Because a lot of times we talk about compassion and being external.
Right.
However,
you gotta forgive yourself.
Want to make a difference, it's like how to have self-compassion.
Right.
And I'm going to be doing a meditation at the Salt Cave on self-compassion next week. So my second one. So it's kind of a fun topic for me.
The salt? What?
The Louisville Salt Cave. What? Yeah.
This is a new concept for you.
Okay.
You haven't heard of salt caves?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I'm not well-versed in exactly what it is, but I have basic knowledge, I guess.
It's pretty cool. Well, look.
Is it bring your own French fries?
Salt
unsalted, of course.
Yeah,
maybe that's another topic. Bring some. Well, maybe we'll have to bring the salt cave.
Yeah,
ooh, gallon,
yes.
And learn about how us 40-ish can benefit from the salt cave.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that would be good. Yeah.
So I'm just gonna leave
Google Louisville Salt Cave.
Leave Dan in oblivion.
I was talking to people yesterday about, and I've been fascinated with these things, but I've never tried it, is the sensory deprivation tanks.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And I don't know why I have waited, because I know they're around. Yeah. I just need to find one and make
an
appointment.
It's over there by Lucky Market.
Oh, there's one here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Cloud 9 or something 9.
That's
or something
what
like that
is?
Yeah. I think that's what that is.
Oh, man.
There was a Groupon a while ago, too.
Those things have been around forever. Because I remember a movie from the early 80s called Altered States.
Mm.
And it was this guy, he was a scientist, and he was, you know, I think he was probably doing drugs or something. But he was getting in this tank, and he... Well, I don't want to spoil it. It's only 40 years old.
Yeah.
But anyhow, is that something, are those sort of coping mechanisms that you recommend to people if they're...
Of course, yeah. I mean, anything. I mean, my favorite is acupuncture, I think mostly because it works for me. But the Louisville Community Acupuncture, too. It's over on Barrett, over by like the old Lynn's Paradise Cafe. But those folks moved from Austin, Texas, too, before I moved here. And I didn't even know them until I moved here, which they're cool folks. But... super affordable. It's a group in a group setting. So hormone balancing, depression, anxiety, stress management, anything, just kind of like
through acupuncture.
Yeah.
You mean? Okay.
Yeah. They kind of call it an acu-nap. So it's like you go and you kind of zone out and just, it's pretty cool.
I can dig it.
That's my favorite. That's my personal favorite. The salt cave's awesome. The floating. I mean, I think anything that you experience where you feel some stress relief is helpful. You know, exercise, of course, like things exercise or deep breathing and all that. And I do a lot of deep breathing with my clients because it's free. Mm-hmm. And you can do it for a couple minutes.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
At any time.
At any time. And people don't even know you're doing have to know you're doing it. But yeah.
I try to exhale quietly so they don't.
Yeah.
I do it all the time, though. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm walking the dog. So I'm getting my exercise and deep breathing
and
at
deep
the same
breathing.
Time.
Yeah.
And it's
very nice.
If I could only do that about five times a day,
I'd
be in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, where were we going?
Well, we were
anger.
Talking about anger.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay, this is the cool thing. This is my favorite thing. Okay, this is sort of my illustration is we all have those voices in our heads that are always sort of talking, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. in these moments of high emotion or anxiety or anger, there's usually present this hurt and lonely child. I have this theory that most adults are just little kids in big people bodies emotionally, right?
Okay.
Like, that we're fully kind of, admit that.
Yeah. That we all have that little kid in us that is kind of hurt and lonely and sad or, you know, whatever we're kind of maybe still holding on to from childhood or, you know, whatever. We also have inside of us a critical parent. So, which if you're a perfectionist, if you are hard on yourself, if you're hard on other people, if you, you know, like things a certain way and you're just, you know, that person who's... a little bit more high-strung, type A.
She's talking about me. She's looking at me.
I know. I'm thinking about myself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I joke that I'm a recovering serious person.
You guys
person.
Still talking? I'm so sleepy.
You like the sound of my voice, don't you? Okay. No.
You can just tell by the way we sit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm all up high. Like.
You're saying I have bad posture?
No, you're just so much more relaxed than I am. When I relax, I fall asleep. Yeah. Anyway.
Yes. So this interaction between the hurt and lonely kid in us and this critical parent in us, right, really kind of keeps the little kid in us hurt and sad and lonely. So what I do with clients is teach them how to make that critical parent a little bit more of a nurturing parent. So we get more into that compassion place and where you're more gentle with yourself, you're more, you know, patient with yourself, you're how you might imagine you ideally want to be with your own children, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're like, tell me more about that. You know, what happened? Oh, I'm so sorry, right? So you're talking to yourself in a different way, because 70% of what we communicate is nonverbal communication. So how we talk is more important than what we're actually saying. So you could be saying, you know, angrily, like, I love you, right? Which is the same words as I love you, mm-hmm. right? But it's communicating a whole different message.
Right.
So the voices in our heads are the same sort of way, right? Of like, why did you miss that train? Why didn't you, you know, or why did you, you know, get stuck in that traffic? Or why didn't you leave earlier? Or you have all those voices that are like,
this is what I've been through in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. So
I should have gone at 64.
When we're able to shift more into that nurturing parent, you know, voice for ourselves, it grows up that little kid to be a little bit more free and playful. So you can have fun and relax and, you know, do that, which ideally also then you're sort of striving for this sort of best adult self is what I call it. And this trinity of best adult self, your nurturing parent, and your free and playful child. I mean, wouldn't that be a great place to live in?
I have so much work to do.
Well, like, if you are
supposed to make me feel better. I'm just kidding.
This is just your first session, Dan. Yeah, we can unpack this next month.
Okay.
Well, how long is the path that when people come to you?
Yeah.
You know, how long before, and how much do they have to do on their own?
Right. Yeah.
To see some positive change in whatever they're facing.
I assume that people get homework, right?
Oh, I give homework, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I mean, what the research that I know of shows that usually only 10% of the progress comes in the actual therapy room and 90% comes outside of the therapy room. Because if you think about it,
train yourself.
Right. You're only sitting with me for 50 minutes or whatever, right? Once a week, maybe. I mean, if your schedule doesn't allow
I pay for a full hour.
Okay. A therapy hour can be anywhere between 45 minutes. I mean, it's tricky.
I know.
What insurance will bill or, you know, what your private practice, whatever. So... So yeah, so you know, it's different for everybody. You can't, there's no like, I love you know, I love new clients because I love just like diving into whatever they're dealing with, right? Like I don't use any sort of cookie cutter approach or any sort of program or whatever that says like, oh, first session I do this, second session I do this. Like it's all geared towards what that client
everybody's
needs.
Problem is different.
Absolutely. Right. Every person is different.
Do so you see patterns though? Or
oh yeah.
Not necessarily patterns, but
she's seen it all.
I've seen it all. They say the same words. I mean it's eerie sometimes.
So same problem but different people, so they classify it into groups of six or seven different types of people.
Well, I mean, not always, but like because I work with sometimes a certain demographic, you know, like men who have a hard time, you know, expressing emotion other than anger or, you know, the misplaced emotion. Those guys are usually, you know, professionals. A lot of times they're high profile or they're CEOs or they're, you know, there's a certain sort of demographic. So they're all sort of got a similar language and there's a certain way of dealing with it or, you know, but again, sort of everybody's different. So when they come in and, you know, I tell people, I like people to come weekly for the first couple sessions, you know, four sessions at least to gain momentum. Because I find that you want to see relief quickly, right? When you're in a tough spot, you want to see relief quickly.
Yes.
You don't want change to necessarily happen quickly because oftentimes change can go back quickly, right? If it's like a rubber band. It's like if you pull it too quickly.
It's like losing a bunch of weight real fast.
But, exactly.
But maybe a little instant gratification.
Absolutely.
Kind of like, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Inspiration, if you will, to continue.
Yeah.
I understand.
And a lot of this stuff, you know, of course, I listen a lot because people really want to talk and just get it out. And I have to be really, you know, I work very intuitively, so I'm just sort of always just listening for what it is that they're needing to hear. I'm kind of playing the role as the nurturing parent.
They'll give you those cues, right?
Yeah. And they'll use certain language or, you know, I've done this now long enough that I'm sort of like, oh, you know, and in my mind, I'm kind of also asking like, what does this person really need to hear today? Or what is this, you know, so that it's worth their while, you know, and I'm not just blabbing a bunch of crap like I am right now. But no. I use the four-letter word. Does that count?
Okay. That one's on the edge.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
Okay. Sorry. Stuff. I'll say this stuff. Okay. So, where was I? Now I lost my train of thought.
We were just talking about the
momentum.
Different paths and that people need a little bit of instant gratification, but that it can be a longer haul than that.
Right. And it's so interesting because even people who come in and they have listed this long list of here's all the things I want to work on. And I'm like, okay, you know, and we'll talk about where do you want to start? Right. So, because sometimes too, I mean, there's a lot of different approaches to that, but where they want to start, you want to go somewhere where they want to go so that they're getting some benefits. But you know, I might think like, oh, this person might be here for a while, right? Like, and my goal is to really not get them to be here for a while. My goal is to how you can best take care of yourself, right? Not me be the parent and you come in and I parent you for an hour and then you go off for the rest of the week, you know? Like, that's not what my goal is. I really want to empower people to have tools in their toolbox to use so that when different things come up, they're like, oh, right, you know, like, I'm going to use this one or I'm going to use that one. But what I find is even, you know, coming for a few weeks or bringing your spouse with you and doing some couples work can really shift things fairly quickly, especially if you're really open to there being change. Not everybody's open to change.
Right.
Even though they know there needs to be change, something wants to be changed,
but they want somebody
really
else to
resistant.
Do it.
Exactly. So, and the resistant people are some of my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to crack them.
Yeah.
So how do people know when to make the call?
You know, like I say the sooner the better, just because with couples therapy, I think there was research done. I'm sure every marriage therapist is going to kill me for saying this, but, there's research that's been done that shows that marriage therapy is not effective because people wait too long until they go.
Right.
And effective meaning staying together, right? Like that you can repair this relationship. But if you wait so long and you build up these walls and you've built up the resentment, it's going to take a long time to untangle
all
that.
How do you know that has even begun? Because it's like the frog in a boiling pot of water.
Right.
If the water's already boiling, you drop the frog and he's going to jump out.
Yeah.
But if he's in the water and it starts to boil around him.
Right.
He'll just cook himself. He doesn't know any different.
Very true. And I think, you know, if you're finding that it's just progressive, you know, if you can think back for a year and think like, have I been really unhappy about something in this last year? Or has this, I feel unsettled about something, or we keep arguing about the same thing and we're not able to. Because the thing is, it's kind of like these non-solvable problems is, you can figure out new ways to argue about those things that are maybe more effective or more productive than just, you know, someone says something, the other one says no, and they turn their backs and they're not having any sort of conversation about it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're in any sort of pattern like that, then you might want to, you know, I mean, some people, it's amazing, like, people's tolerance levels of what they're willing to stick around for and what they're not willing to stick around for. So everybody's tolerance level is different. So if you're just at the point, you know, you have thinkers and you have feelers, the right brain, the left brain, all these things. And so usually a lot of times a lot more feelers for the one who's are coming looking for therapy because it doesn't feel good.
No.
Right? So
that's right.
So it's hard to tell.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I felt something.
You're a feeler?
I think I am. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know if I'd want to be labeled a feeler.
All right. Well, how do people find you? Do you tweet or anything?
Yeah,
like
I'm on everything. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I have a YouTube channel, so you can go watch videos of me. I just uploaded one this morning.
Lay it on us.
Awesome. Yeah. Tell us where to go.
Oh, gosh. Now I don't even know. My Facebook is Relationship Zen. Okay. So you can look at me there. And then I have this Keep Louisville Mindful. It's kind of my new, cause, or I'm pushing for this, like, you know, mindfulness stuff in the way of, if we can really pay attention to what we're doing and why we're doing it, I think we have an opportunity to really change how we live our lives, mm-hmm. how we parent our kids, how we are in relationship, because we might have, you know, all those thoughts that are swirling around so fast, if we can slow those down a little bit and really be more mindful of why we're doing what we're doing, why we say what we say, instead of just getting stuck in those unconscious patterns that, you know, well, this is just how I've always been. This is what I always do. And, you know.
So is that what we search on YouTube?
Oh, sorry.
How do we find the YouTube?
Okay. Focus.
YouTube. I think under YouTube, it's Mindful Megan. Megan, M-E-G-A-N, one L in Mindful.
Do you have a website?
I have a website. It's meganbaylessbartley.com. And so it's MEGANBAYLES, as in Sam, BARTLEY.com.
We'll link that up in the passage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right there. Okay. Yeah.
This was great. You feel good?
I feel great.
How do you feel?
I want to come back.
How does that make you feel?
Are we like your therapy?
You are. This is awesome.
You got to talk to us this time.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have you back if you're open to it.
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I want to talk to her some more. Every time we have a guest on, I always want to talk to them more.
We will.
Because I have some ideas. I need to pick her brain.
Totally checking out the YouTube channel, though.
I'm curious as
me
well.
Too.
I am. My children sit and watch YouTube all the time. Maybe she'll be my go-to channel, my YouTuber.
I have too much to watch.
I have explained this, though, with me. Maybe it's part of my type A-ness that I watch like one thing at a time. Unless it's sporting events, which are time sensitive. Other than that, I commit to one Netflix show at a time. I watch the whole thing. When it's over, I watch something else.
I said the most wise thing last night.
Oh, yeah?
It was Thursday night, kickoff of the NFL football regular season last night. Started at 8:30, right? Well, I got home a little bit later than usual. There's homework to deal with. There's dinner to deal with, of course, and children and this and that and the dog. And the dog had been in the house all day, and she's just looking at me like, where are we going? Where are we going? When are we going? Let's go. Come on, let's go. It's like, I can't, Ruby. And I had to do another podcast. And anyhow, I decided to walk the dog. And my wife said, but hasn't the game started? I said, football's going to happen whether I'm watching it or not.
Ooh, this is big.
I'm just gonna go for a walk, and I'll be back, and then I'll watch football. And I thought, I've made a major breakthrough.
That is a because big of that. Deal. You're not a slave to the kickoff.
No, but I did. I sat my running back on my bench, fantasy football bench, and missed out there. So I try not to kick myself for that.
It's like, dur, dur, dur. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm self-forgiving.
There you go.
Right now.
That's very mindful of you.
Well, let's make this official and let's launch into words of wisdom.
Man, I've got certain information.
What do you think the meaning of life is?
Best place to be is here. Best time to be is now.
Party on, dudes!
Little girls are delicate. Boy, you put in the backyard like a dog, it raises itself.
Words of wisdom.
What say you this week?
Well, mine comes out of a personal experience within the past week.
Wisdom doesn't occur because of experience,
yes,
Stephanie.
Yes, it does. And I realized that, I helped with a charity event on Labor Day. It's something I've been helping with since probably February.
Okay.
I had this idea. I knew it would work. I didn't want to do it as part of my business, so I met with a nonprofit. I said, here's this great idea. I guarantee it's going to be successful. They're looking at me like, oh, why do we trust you? I'm like, okay, I'm going to volunteer. I sat on the committee. I went to the meetings. I shot off emails. I did all the good things that you're supposed to do when you're helping out with a charity event. I was there that day. I promoted via the website. I did just what I do through Louisville Family Fun.
Okay.
But the very next day, so Labor Day is on a Monday. It was hugely successful. The thing sold out. People had a wonderful time. But the very next day, I wake up in the morning, early in the morning, and I know what it's like to work for a nonprofit. There's a lot of things to do after an event.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things, loose ends to tie up. But the first thing that this woman did from this charity, Ronald McDonald House, was write me an email. And she didn't just write me an email that said, thank you. She wrote this perfect length, you know, that it took
five paragraphs.
Yeah, no, like
it was like, intro.
It was
point,
an intro,
point, outro.
But it was just so thoughtful, and
I thought you were going to say that she wrote you an email pointing out everything that went wrong.
No, it was all.
I'm so.
It
cynical.
Was just such a personal. You could tell she didn't write this email to anybody else involved. You could tell she wrote it on purpose for me. She pointed out why what I did was so helpful and so impactful to them and meaningful and just her feelings. And it was just so, it nearly, I was like reading it. I was so proud. I have never felt so
nice.
I felt so
accomplished.
Just, yeah, like it made me feel so proud. Because she took the time. The first thing she did that morning when she went to work was write me a message. And
while you were still sleeping.
No, I was at work. And so the point is that if you're going to thank somebody, this is my words of wisdom.
Okay.
Because I realized that I've thanked people hundreds of thousands of times.
Yeah.
And I always think I'm
you're
thoughtful and I do what I'm supposed to do. And that's all great and all. But I learned from this message that when it was so personal and just the timing of it was so perfect that if you are going to do something, take the time to really be intentional about it.
Right.
Think
make
about,
it count.
Make it count.
Mm-hmm.
So show gratitude in a way that's not flippant, kind of like, thank you so much. This meant so much to me. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? You know, give them
something.
Well, yes,
you can still buy the cup of coffee.
You know, that email's there. If I'm ever having a bad day or something, or if I have something that flops, I can go back and read that and feel like, remember?
Yes.
You know, and I can remember that feeling. And so I think it's something that it is kind of lost because
we've talked about social media and stuff like that, that people are kind of short and quick these days, that writing a letter, whether it's on paper.
She could have written you an email that just said T-Y.
Yeah, T-Y.
I get that sometimes.
And with like a fist bump.
I'm like, bro, right? You can't just T-Y me.
Exactly. So that's what I mean. This was so intentional and so purposeful. And it got such a reaction out of me that I realized I need to do that as well as she did that.
I love it.
To people, you can't do that every day. I'm not going to go to the person that makes me coffee and say, and sit there for 20 minutes and tell them how grateful I am for this awesome latte.
Let me tell you what would have happened if you didn't give me this coffee.
Yeah. And so it's not about how long it takes to thank somebody. It's not length, but it's the appropriate time, show people the appropriate gratitude.
What if she would have actually written a thank you card and dropped it in the mail?
I think the impact of...
The immediacy?
The immediacy of that. Gotcha. The whole fact that, like I said, after a charity event, you got to deal with financials. You've got stuff in your car. You've got all this stuff from that event. But literally, she went to work that day and she said, the most important thing I have to do today and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to thank her, and I'm going to thank her in such a meaningful way.
Well, good
and
for so you.
I said, yes, that is
awesome.
You
should feel good.
And so
I didn't get that email this week.
So anyway, it made me think about gratitude. And think about the people that do something and take the time to do something for you, and thank them in a meaningful way.
You can verify for me right now that you and I have not talked about our words for wisdom ahead of time.
We have not.
Right?
We have
not. No communication. You said, you have your words of wisdom? I said, yeah, I got something. You got something? Yeah, I got something. My words of wisdom also have to do with thanks.
Oh, really? See, we're like one. We're zen.
Can you believe it? Mine are, I forgot where I read this, but it's do something today that your future self will thank you for later.
Okay.
So we all deal with stuff during the day, and we all make countless choices from the time our feet hit the ground in the morning, or actually before that, because you could get out of bed real quickly, or you can linger there for a couple of minutes and reach for the phone and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're making choices immediately. So even if once a day you purposefully and consciously said, okay, I'm going to make a choice that I think that is going to make a difference a month from now or next week or even a year from now. You know, they say when people are going through problems, you think, gosh, is this going to matter in a year?
Right.
Yeah, that's a nice perspective building thing. But for anybody to go through their day and think, gosh, if I do this, what's really going to happen here? Instead of being so impulsive with what they're, and then you know what I did? As soon as I walked down the office and I ate two cheeseburgers, like a dummy.
Well, you didn't have the donuts.
I didn't have the donuts. I'm just off that. That's a habit that I've broken.
Okay.
Yeah, but I need to break the fast food habit too. But. Or break it again.
But that applies, your words of wisdom applies to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Whether you decide to sit down and watch the football game rather than taking your walk.
Right.
The walk is a long-term decision because you're saying, I'm going to be much happier with myself in a week, in a month, if I take these walks than if I relax with my chips and watch football.
We all have a to-do list at work, and sometimes those to-do things can wait until tomorrow. But gosh, just imagine if you crossed it off the list right before you left work and you get in the morning, you go, oh, I forgot I did that. Thanks, self.
Good job, me.
I mean, that's a very short-term payoff, but still, mentality is the same.
Right, right.
So
I like it.
It's like, and you know, I was talked to a lot of entrepreneurs, and they always said, do one thing today that will move your business forward. And at the end of the year, you will have done 365 things that moved your business forward.
Cumulative effect there.
Right. Same sort of deal.
All right.
So those are my words of wisdom.
Yeah, and we did not contrive.
Not at all.
To be in the same theme.
Isn't that great?
I know.
How about that? We're making a difference.
We're so wise. We are. I told you, and I didn't mention this podcast before, this podcast is helping me.
Yeah.
Because I get on this podcast, and I talk about stuff I do, and this weekend I have Girls Night Out, and I have made an appointment for my annual physical with a doctor.
Love it.
So I am keeping myself accountable.
Love
here.
It. I would love to know, and as I'm sure you would too, if this is helping anybody else. So drop us a line on Twitter at Dan Vonderhyde, and you are
at Lou Fam Fun,
and on podcast on Facebook, blah, blah, been talking too much. On Facebook, at 40-ish podcast, or just 40-ish podcast. If we don't have a Twitter. We should have a Twitter.
We should create
You can always hashtag 40-ish, yes. And I tend to check that every now and then you know, it's just a way to interact.
But we should create a Twitter for people. We should be tweetable.
We should.
Directly.
Thank you for listening once again, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.